Today I'd like to look with you at Psalm 91. This is one of the greatest psalms of Scripture. Of course, they're all great. But I'd like to look at this psalm with you verse by verse, and especially look at what kind of confidence God gives us through this psalm in all the storms of life that we might face, that we are going to come through all of these things that we have to go through marvelously, victoriously, and triumphant in the end. Does God really want to have us that kind of super confidence through this word? You know, we got a lot of storms that we're facing. We got our normal troubles that we all deal with every day in life. We've also got this whole COVID thing and the political unrest we see in our days, and we have to fight the devil and temptations and against the world and such things. So we've got a lot of storms to go through. But what kind of confidence can we have in God through all of these things, that we're going to come through these things marvelously and secure? Let's take a look at Psalm 91 today. We'll go through it verse by verse. That will be the message. And see what God teaches us and says to us, his people, today through these wonderful words. So, here we go. We're starting out in Psalm 91. This is verses 1 and 2. We read, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." So, let's start out with this question. Does that sound like super confidence to you, or kind of a shaky disposition? Let's read it again. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." What do you think? Super confidence. So God teaches us that's what he wants us to have in all of life as we dwell in the shelter of his wings. Now, this psalm is only for you and only for Christians, because it's not for everybody. Because we read here that it's he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in God's shadow. That's the one who gets these promises. Not everybody, but only those who take shelter in him. That is, who believe in him, who trust in him, who've come under his wings by faith. And that is only for Christians. Because only we truly have come under the shelter that God has provided for us, which is Jesus Christ. He is the shelter that God has provided for us. Under his cross, under his wings, under his outstretched arms, that's where we find true refuge in God Almighty. So this psalm really is exclusive. It's for God's people. Not for the world, but for you, for all Christians. We have the true shelter in Jesus Christ. And this is cause then for super confidence for you in everything of life, because he is a fantastic, secure, mighty shelter. Let's think about that word shelter for just a second. The word there in the Hebrew for that is seter, which means a shelter or a covert or a place of protection or a secret hiding place. We all need a secret hiding place in life, don't we, from the storms that we face in life? Do you guys have a secret hiding place? Beth, when she was a little girl, she grew up actually in a house of violence. Very difficult home. There was a lot of drinking, there was shouting, there was hitting, there was danger every day for my wife when she was a little tiny girl. And there were actually holes in the wall of her house made by her as she was thrown into those walls in an act of violence. And there were other holes in those walls from other people hitting their fists. And so she actually wrote a poem when she was a little older of when she was a little girl. She called it My Secret Hiding Place, because she used to, even at like 3 or 4 years old, hide in a little clothes hamper, which was like a cardboard box. And she says that was the only place in her whole world where she felt safe. And there she was secure. Now, everybody has places of a hiding place. Some people hide in, you know, things like bank accounts and money. Power and prestige, title and positions, their city, their location, their smarts, their intelligence, their idol, whatever god they choose, but these are all cardboard boxes. As soon as the storms of life come in, they just melt away like cardboard in the rain. They're of no use. But you have a shelter called Jesus Christ, which is a fortress in every storm to give you confidence. Think of it. The word here says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, that means a place of safety away from danger, and my fortress, which is the word in Hebrew, Masuda, which means my mountain stronghold, my castle at the peak of the mountain. And it means in the upper inaccessible reaches, basically, of the rocks, where no enemy or trouble can touch you. That is when we take refuge in Jesus Christ and in God the Father, that you have a castle that is unassailable, inaccessible to all evil. You are safe. You are secure, and therefore you're super confident. Now, it says here that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a friendly shadow. In other words, you're under the shade of his mighty presence all around you. And the word to abide there in the Hebrew is lin, which simply means a place where you will lodge or lay down for at night, as in an inn where you're totally secure from robbers. You can cease from activity and lay down and rest in security. Is that the way it is with you and God? When you come to him, you can rest secure when you believe in him under the shelter and shade of his presence, because he is who? The Most High. He is supreme, tops number one, and in the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai, which means he has all power. Now remember this, our God doesn't just have a little power and other people have power. He has, say it with me, All power. Panto Krator. All. Pan. Krator. Power. Every authority and power he owns. It is him. That's the one in whom you're taking refuge. He is our castle and the inaccessible reaches of the rocks far above all enemies. So when you take refuge in him and he's watching over you, you indeed have a true shelter and therefore super confidence. And his refuge is Jesus Christ, his son. That is the one, and he is the one in whom we come for refuge. Therefore, we can say, if God be for me, who can be against me? With the Lord on my side, I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? Because I am in the Lord. So let's go on to the next verse here. It says, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So what is God going to do for you specifically? You who have trusted in him, you who have called him my Lord, my God, my refuge, my fortress. Notice those are very personal words. You have a personal, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is your refuge, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your God. What's he going to do for you? Well, the psalmist here uses actually words, images of birds to help try to make you understand better. He says, you're like a little bird, and the devil is the bird hunter. For he will deliver you, God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the one who's hunting the birds. You're the little birds, the devil is the bird hunter. God himself will deliver you from that weasel, because the devil really is a weasel. He's like climbing up the trees, setting traps, setting snares to catch the birds, that he might eat them and devour them. But you don't have to have any fears of him, because God says, I will set you free from every one of his traps, every one of his snares, because I see what he's doing. No temptation has overtaken you, says Paul, that's not common to man. God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So you are the birds of God that have escaped and will escape every snare that's set before you in your path, because God, El Shaddai, the Most High, Almighty, in whose shade you've come for refuge, will deliver you. Do you believe that? That doesn't mean you're not going to face troubles in life or you know, have to suffer at times, that through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God, but from them all the Lord delivers me, says Paul. And from them all the Lord will deliver you. He provides the way through, the way of escape, so that you will be able to endure it and come out triumphant on the other side. So you have super confidence in him on account of these things. It says here, for he, God, will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. That's a glorious image. So not only are you little birds, the devil's the weasel, but who is God? He is a great bird. He is like the mighty eagle, because it's his wings that are your shields that protect you from every evil. And what does it mean when you are under his pinions? What's the word pinions? We don't use that word a lot. It means feathers. So you can kind of look at the comfort of God to you in your troubles because of this, because feathers are very gentle and soft, aren't they? So God comforts you with his feathers, under whose wings you've come for refuge. He cares and tenderly comforts you in your troubles, because you do have troubles, but he comforts you. But then also, like a father eagle in his might, and like a mother eagle in his care, he shields you with those mighty wings of his, and you have taken refuge underneath them. Therefore, we hear words like this in Old Testament. God speaks to the people of Israel in ancient days. Exodus 19, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. On eagle's wings! Isn't that great? Is he carrying you on eagle's wings? Indeed he is. Deuteronomy 32, like an eagle that stirs up its nests, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. Can you picture that in your relationship with God right now? That he is bearing you up on his pinions, shielding you with the feathers, with those mighty wings of his. You've come under them for refuge. When I was at seminary years ago at St. Louis, you've probably seen it if you've been there, there's a little kind of square pond in the center of the quad where there's a duck that always has little ducklings every year. And there's like 12 ducklings there. I don't know how she did it, but she would call them, they'd all run under, and she'd go, and she'd have all of them under her wings. I don't know how she fit them, but they were all under her protection and care. God says, you are under the wings of the great eagle, me. And my wings are truly a shield for you from everything. I will shield you. We read here, his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. A buckler is just a second type of shield. So his faithfulness is a shield, and it's a shield, like two great wings over you. You are shielded by his wings and by his faithfulness, which is a shield. What is the word faithfulness in the Hebrew? Is emet, which means his honesty, his loyalty, his constancy, his trustworthiness, his fidelity to you shields you and cover you from every evil. He bears you up and makes you ride upon the high places of the earth. Therefore, you are confident. Remember, these are words written by a man, but inspired by the Spirit, and therefore they are true, and you can lay hold of them for your encouragement today. What then should be the result in our heart? Let's look at the next line here. He says, verse 5, the psalmist continues, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. So what should be the character and content of your heart? No more fear. No more need for it. No more need to fear the terror of the night. You can read it this way. You should. You will not fear the terror of the night. You will not fear the arrow that flies by day. You will not fear the pestilence, even a COVID or something, that stalks in the darkness. You will not fear the destruction that wastes at noonday. Why? Because your God is a mighty fortress, a castle in the clouds. You've come under his shade, in his shelter, under the shield of his wings. You are safe. And if anything does touch you in this life, it's only by his will for your betterment and his glory, but he will keep you and uphold you in Jesus Christ, so that you come through everything marvelously. Such is his promise to us in this psalm. And if you think about it, these words are really, ultimately, about defending us from evil, namely, powers of darkness, the evil one. For you will not fear the terror of the night, the terrors of the powers of darkness that are at work in the world, the devil, the dominion of darkness, the evil one. They can be very scary, for they are threatening and big bullies. You don't have to be afraid. Why? You're under the wings of a great eagle, my friends. He shields you as with wings that are pouring out light and glory and strength and might from the Almighty. For God delivered us from the dominion of darkness, didn't he? Colossians says. And he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption. In other words, he bought you back from your sins to be his own. In whom we have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So you are under light. Darkness can't threaten or make you afraid anymore, because if God's watching over for you, ain't nothing going to touch you. Don't worry about that. I am your shield, says the Lord, and my wings will keep you. And we have not only that, his wings, but he gives us what? The shield of faith, with which we can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. My own armor I put into your hands. Don't worry about the evil one. We conquer together. I make you more than conquerors through him who loved me, says Paul. All right, let's go on and see what else the psalmist teaches us about this that God has done for us. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You'll only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. In other words, these are words of war and warfare, that God delivers people even in physical war. We've heard many stories of that. Sometimes people do die according to God's will, even Christians in war, and go to heaven. But God delivers us out of troubles and difficulties. But these words, I think, are really speaking about our spiritual warfare, that, as he's going to say later, we're going to tread on lions and serpents and scorpions, all the power of the enemy. We'll trample it. But also, I think this speaks of the end of the world, when God judges the world. For when he comes, there shall be a great vengeance when he sits upon his throne and judges man for their sins. Behold, the Lord's coming out of his place, says Isaiah, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the blood shed upon her, and will no more cover her slain. In other words, he's going to come and sit on his glorious throne with vengeance to judge the nations, says Scripture. And Jeremiah 25 says, those slain by the Lord on that day shall extend from one end of the earth to the other. So those who are wicked, who are in rebellion and unrighteous, shall be slain. But 1,000 on that day may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. But God promises it won't come near you, because you've taken shelter in me. You're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. You're under my mighty wings. It won't even touch you. You'll only look with your eyes and see the reward of the wicked. You need not be afraid on that day, for I am with you to save you, says the Lord. That's a beautiful word. We go on and we read in verse 9. The psalmist continues, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. Why? For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you'll trample underfoot. What's the promise to us in these verses, which again are true by the Holy Spirit for you? Namely, we've got friends in high places. No evil's going to touch you. No scourge come near your tent. Why? Because God, who protects you with his own personal, glorious, mighty wings, silver, tipped, and gold wings, yet even there he will send agents to take care of you. These spirits of glory and light called angels, they will be given charge of you, over you, to guard you in all your ways and bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Do you believe that you have friends in high places? How about you, Zuleika? Bill? Art? Yeah. Neil? Do you have actually angels assigned to you guys personally? Yeah. The Bible says we do. We should take great courage in this. Not only God's mighty wings, but he sends angels to accomplish as agents your being kept in Jesus Christ and protected from injury and harm. And even if we do suffer an injury or harm physically, to be kept spiritually triumphant to the day of Christ. We've seen that. Look at Daniel. He was thrown into a dingy den of lions in darkness to spend the entire night. And early in the morning, at the crack of dawn, the king ran. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Picture, he's just looking into darkness, and he hears a voice cry out to him from the darkness. He says, O king, live forever. In other words, don't worry. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me because I was found blameless before him. So an angel appeared and closed the mouths of the lions that Daniel, in that storm, came through by a way provided in the Lord, an angel of light. Then again, you see Peter. The very night that Herod was about to bring Peter out from prison to kill him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, and sentries guarded the doors of the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter on the side. Can't you picture that? It wasn't just a, you know, wake up, little Peter. He's like,
wake up, get up quickly. We got work to do.
And out they go, out the door. And he got saved. Angels. Angels took care of me, I believe, 2 weeks before I married Beth years ago. I was in a car crash. I've told you the story where two trucks crashed ahead of me, and one of them was heading my way, and I pulled off the road to try to get out, and it hit me no further away than this, the wall to me, like a foot. And I flew through the air like 25 feet, crashed into a tree. It just broke my car in half, which was a Blazer. It was totaled, complete crushing destruction, glass everywhere, and I came out without a scratch. Not a drop of blood, not a bruise, not a sore muscle. Perfect. Was that an angel or was that an accident? I'd say angel. God watches over you with his all-seeing eyes, his ever-vigilant, watchful eye, his almighty hand. He delivers us personally with his own power and mighty wings. And he sends angels, agents, to do it as well. You have such strong encouragement never to fear anything, guys. You have perfect encouragement in Jesus Christ. And the best place where we see God with his silver-tipped, glorious wings guarding you in glory is at the cross, where Jesus, as it were, spread out his wings with his hands outstretched for our help and refuge. Because he gave his life for us. We hear that, there's a story once of a forest ranger who was walking through a forest that had been burned by the forest fire the day before. And he found on the ground by a stump of a tree a bird, a dove that had been charred with its wings outspread. How sad, thought he, that this dove should die in the fire. But then he heard a chirping and a stirring, and underneath that, he lifted up the dead body, and underneath the dove were her chicks, who had been shielded by those mighty wings from the fire, and they came alive. They were alive. So also, God, in a far greater way, through Christ at the cross, did that for us. His wings outspread. He was found charred, or dead, that is, at the bottom of a tree, the cross. But we came out alive and full of joy. And it's better than that, because Christ not only died, but rose again, and is at the right hand of God in glory. So the angels watch over you. God watches over you. Even the devil himself backs these words up with his own preaching. Can you believe it? For when the devil tempted Jesus and took him to the top of the temple in Jerusalem, he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will give his angels charge of you. All their hands, they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Can you believe it? Even the devil believes Psalm 91. We have his even confirmation, can you believe it, that this is true. And Jesus confirms that word, that this is true. You are well protected. Jesus says, just don't use that verse to tempt the Lord your God. But it is most heartily true that under my wings you have a perfect salvation. You have no pang of life to threaten you, no power of death, no might of the devil or gate of darkness, no sting of sin, no plague of pestilence, nor any calamity, nor any evil has anything over on you if you are Christ's and you are in the shelter of the Almighty and in the shade of our great King. And then at the last here, we see something amazing happen in this psalm. Let's take a look. It says, because he cleaves to me in love. In other words, God now is going to, as the Father, Creator himself, inject himself into this psalm to personally give a first-person words to you to confirm that every verse and promise here will prove true for you. I personally now speak to you, God will say. He says, behold, because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God speaks personally to you now in this word. Because you cleave to me in love, chasek in the Hebrew, because you've set your love upon me, because you've delighted in me, because you hold fast my name by faith, because you've earnestly sought my person and attached yourself to me to take refuge and shelter in me, this I royally promise to do for you. I will deliver you. I will save you. I will protect you, which also means I will set you on high. I will bear you up on my own wings and carry you through life to make you ride on the high places of the earth and eventually to bring you up to my home in the rocky crag of the highest places where I have a castle and security for you forever. Because you know my name, and by the way, I know yours, we have a relationship of friendship through Christ. Therefore, when you call to me, I will answer you, says God. Every prayer I will hear and answer. I will be with you in trouble. This doesn't mean that we won't have troubles. We have troubles, but God is with us in the troubles to bring us out triumphantly through them and to make it glorious as he works his wonders. I will rescue you. I will honor you, says the Lord. With long life I will satisfy you, which means in the Hebrew, you will drink it to the full so that you will be satisfied to abundance and even excess, according to my design for you. And last line, I will show you my salvation. Friends, he saved the best for last, because this word is the greatest of all. I will show you, ra'ah in the Hebrew, I will make it to be seen by you with your own eyes. What? I will show you my salvation. And what is that? What is that word, salvation, in Hebrew? The word is, I will show you my Yeshua. And that is Jesus' name in Hebrew. I will show you my Yeshua, my Jesus, your Savior, and his salvation. Your own eyes, I promise you, says the King, will see your King face to face, and you will see his kingdom. My word guarantees it. So, Psalm 91 contains great promises for us today, friends in Jesus Christ. And it's a psalm written exclusively for the saints, for Christians. That is you. So bank it and put it in your bank and believe it. Rejoice and be confident in these, in the shelter of the Almighty, in the shield of his wings, and in the salvation in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.